Welcome once again to the Uncommon Man Podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Duggar.
And we forgot about you for a little while. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try and play it up nice and pretty for you.
We didn't forget.
We didn't?
No.
Why didn't we record anything?
Because I was 160 miles east of you.
Right. There is that. Yeah, I kind of moved to my my own place, and we haven't really been able to align our schedules quite right in the past little while.
Our apologies to you all. We know how much you've missed us.
Oh, so much. So much. And we've missed all of you. You.
And you.
You wearing the blue. You're my favorite.
But after coming back from our, what is this, third, fourth hiatus?
Oh, good lord, I have no idea.
We have some goodies for you today.
We do. We have quite a few topics. Well, okay, let's
just
be fair. We have just a few. Not quite a few, just a few. But yeah. So what's honestly been keeping us? I mean, what have you been up to in the
Well, time? Actually, fixing to get my bachelor's degree, so
sweet.
Work's been stepping up. I got a new job, which has had me commuting quite a lot.
Nice.
So it's been difficult to get the time off. And I have missed tumping, I will be honest.
I haven't had a new job or anything. I've just been lazy. So
bum.
Yeah. Although, funny note, you remember in the last podcast, which was I think in January, if my memory serves.
That you did alone.
Yeah, that I did.
Without me.
Sorry. But anyway, the last one, you'll recall that I bought an Xbox 360 with my hard-earned, my Christmas money. And
hey, Christmas money is hard-earned.
It's not easy to be nice, okay? And, you know, that's the only way you get things at Christmas. But so I bought a 360 with my Christmas money, had to ship it off to the factory because it red-ringed, and, you know, about a month ago, I was having trouble making rent, so had to give up my 360
For shame.
I know. For shame and for cash. That and my DS have gone by the wayside. Alicia still has hers for now, so I can still play every now and then.
But on the positive side, you are cultivating a very attractive beard now.
There is that. I look very manly. Very like a lumberjack, even.
Almost like Chuck Norris.
Yeah. If only. Oh, well. We'll see you on the other side of this music. Enjoy!
Of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you. 'Cause that's where the ranger's gonna be.
All right, so in the past, you guys know that I have harbored a love, an unnatural love, perhaps.
Unhealthy, maybe not unnatural.
Okay, unhealthy love for Rock Band, the game made by those delightful little bastards at Harmonix. The guys that made the first three Guitar Hero games, and now they've jumped ship from Activision, thank goodness. Before their series could be pimped out and treated rather unladylike.
I don't know, after the peripherals that we found at Walmart, I don't think that they escaped quite fast enough.
Yeah, we found a, we found, you remember those old little Tiger handheld electronic games?
Oh, do
like,
I.
I had a Ninja Gaiden one. Ninja Gaiden? No, Shinobi. Shinobi and a Mega Man 2 one also. And
yes.
They were okay. Oh, and I had a Batman one also.
Oh, yes.
And they were okay. You know, they were not the height of video gaming. They were like a Game & Watch, basically. Now they apparently have one of those things for Guitar Hero. And I don't really know how that works out. with the music being what it is in Guitar Hero.
Well, what it seems to be is you just hold it, and you're not actually strumming anything. You're just pressing buttons in sequence.
Yeah.
And it looks really miserable, and it absolutely gives no credit to those of us who like to play left-handed.
Now, right next to that, of course, there was a Guitar Hero branded air guitar device, which it was basically a belt buckle with a motion sensor in it, and you were supposed to strum in front of your crotch, I suppose. And then from this amp that comes with it, a little speaker thing, you would have riffs from various songs in the Guitar Hero franchise come out as you strummed against the belt buckle. And
you know, at least the toilet paper dispensing iPod plug made sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, who couldn't use some music in the bathroom?
But this just seems wantonly needless. Yes.
Yes.
I could use crude terms, but I'm above that.
Activision sucks. Yeah, anyway.
I believe it's called Selling Your Soul to the Devil.
Yes, yes. Well, you guys, if you listened to my last podcast, you know I got all into that. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, I like Rock Band. I have not been able to afford it as of yet. It's one of my goals here on the horizon once I do get a new job. But they recently announced, actually they announced a while back, just kind of offhand, that they were going to make a Wii version of Rock Band. And from that moment, I and all Wii fanboys who are also fans of Rock Band just prayed to the Rock Band god, Alex Rigopoulos, that that he would release the game with some amount of downloadable content made available. The character creator that was lost when the when they shipped it out to a different developer for the PlayStation 2 version. The PS3 version and the 360 version have character creators and downloadable content every week, and the PlayStation 2 version has none of that. It just has the core game. So, you know, we were hoping we wouldn't get a crippled version of the game. But, unfortunately, the announcement came down the tubes this past week or so that that was exactly what we were going to get. Basically, the PS2 version of the game. The accessories, the peripherals that came with it are not going to require Wii remotes to plug into them, like the Guitar Hero guitar did, but they're going to be separate from everything. They're still going to ship with a USB hub and everything, so you will have to plug it into the back of the Wii. But, you know, I just feel cheated. I feel like the Wii is a good platform. You could do so much more on it. And I know Nintendo must be standing in their way when it comes to downloadable content because there is no storage device, at least no no permanent storage device on the Wii. And that's a problem a lot of people who download many of the virtual console games are running into now.
Mm-hmm.
That the only thing you can really do if you need to clear up space is delete those games and then re-download them later for free.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. So Nintendo needs to come out with a... And I know we're not the first ones to say this, but Nintendo needs to come out with some kind of dedicated storage device.
Well, I'm sure someone is sitting in a sweatshop somewhere figuring out how to do that.
I'm sure. And see, with the onset of WiiWare, which is going to be their new homebrew download stuff, they're going to have to do that. You're not going to have nearly enough room left on your Wii for game saves and whatever else you need to put on there.
Yep.
But, yes, so Rock Band Wii is a good idea. We had high hopes, but it's just going to be the PS2 version, more or less.
Yeah, and it'll still be, you know, it'll still be fun and interesting to play at a party, but it's just not going to be as expansive or as enthralling, I think, as the 360 version for the lack of, you know, customizability.
And see, this is what really bugs me about the whole thing, is that the PlayStation 2 version of Rock Band, with all the peripherals and everything, is $160 right now. That's the basic retail price you're paying anywhere, unless they're running some kind of special. The price for the Wii version with all the peripherals is going to be $170. So I'm wondering what the hell that extra $10 is contributing to, you know?
You're getting it on the Wii instead of the 360.
But, or the PS2, you mean?
Or the PS2.
Right. I mean, I could end up paying $10 more and get it on the 360. I mean, I could pay $170 and get it on the 360 with Character Creator and downloadable content, or the PS3. And, you know?
Don't question. Simply accept.
People are getting off too easy just porting things to the Wii. It's not something we ought to tolerate as a gaming community, but I don't really know how to fight back against it, you know?
Well, as long as people are going to buy it, mm-hmm. it will persist.
Yeah, I said just the other day at the store, I do work at an EB Games, by the way, full disclosure. I said to somebody just the other day, we ought to just start a bin for all the shovelware that showed up on the Wii. I mean, there's like classic British motor racing and Ninja Bread Man and lots of other things that I can't even name because there are so many. It's just, people think if they... developers tend to think that they can be lazy as long as they're targeting kids, I think. Mm-hmm. Because kids have no concept of what's good and bad in a game. At least little kids. But, you know... Yeah, I think the Wii's getting a bum rap because of that. And, you know, nobody's really excited about anything that comes out for the Wii unless it's from Nintendo themselves. And that's the same problem that they had with the GameCube. So unless they get really awesome third-party support, the Wii might be going downhill pretty soon.
Well, you know, and it disappoints me, too, because it came out so strongly, and I think that if we could get more third parties interested in it, mm-hmm. it has a lot to offer. Personally, of all of the ones, next-gen consoles out there, I enjoy the Wii the most, mm-hmm. you know, and having Rock Band on it would just, because I actually have a Wii, I don't have an Xbox 360, I don't have a PlayStation 2, having Rock Band for the Wii would be great for me, because mm-hmm. I like to play the game, and I have the Wii, and, but no. Let's just hamstring me.
Yeah, I don't have a 360 anymore because, you know, honestly, I wasn't too attached to the thing when I actually bought it. The only reason I bought my 360 is because eventually I wanted to buy Rock Band for it. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted the good version of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing else on the 360 really appealed to me. I don't want to go club zombies or shoot things or shoot more things or race cars. That's just not me.
BioShock would have been the title that did it for me for the 360, mm-hmm. but I don't have one, and I haven't gotten to play it. And, you know, I don't use PC, so...
Right. I could see buying BioShock for 360, but... So yeah, it's just not my bag. And the PS3, well, don't even get me started there. I mean, that's the 360 handicapped library.
If you want our opinions and comments on the 360, just cycle back through old podcasts.
The PS3,
yes.
Yes.
You'll have plenty.
Yes. But anyway, that's really all we got. Rock Band coming to Wii in June with no next-gen functionality. Have fun!
And we'll see you in a minute. We're back with a very, very juicy topic here, something that we've been anticipating and thinking about and making side comments about for a number of months now. It is finally here, Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Woo!
It was released very recently, and while adding to the lineup of selectable characters, a few veterans have gone by the wayside. Some of the stages have returned with a large number of new stages, online content, the works. So we're gonna discuss our first impressions of Brawl. And I know right offhand, one thing about Brawl just absolutely killed my co-host.
Cheeses me off, man. You've heard me say many times that our grudge match in Smash, at least in Melee, consisted of Duggar as Samus and myself as Dr. Mario on Final Destination, 7 lives, no items, you know, so on and so forth. But there's a problem with that. We have Final Destination, we have 7 lives, we have Samus even. Where is Dr. Mario? Where?
He went to law school?
To become Dr. Lawyerio?
No, he's just, you know, we have Harvey Birdman, attorney at law. Next, we're going to have Mario Courtroom.
I might actually play that. but anyway, so yeah, they axed Dr. Mario from the lineup, and I'm kind of cheesed about that. Pichu, I can see. Pichu, I can understand them cutting out of the lineup, because... he was Pikachu. He was Pikachu that was faster, and he hurt himself when he attacked. That was it.
You know, and then what we do is we throw in Starwolf.
And Starwolf!
Who's just a slower clone of Fox and Falco.
Starwolf is a slower Fox, and they... what bugs me is that all three of them have the exact same final smash. All of the final smashes are kind of different from each other. Their final smash is a Landmaster tank... just drops out of the sky and they run around the level with it for a few seconds.
We're assuming that anyone listening at this point has a background in Star Fox.
You really oughta. But anyway, yeah, so all three of them have kind of different characteristics to all of their moves, really, and their final smashes, but they're all essentially the same character. And it really bugs me that they threw another Star Fox clone in there, but they can't keep one Mario clone? Really?
You know, and I always liked the Doctor. I thought he played very interestingly. But I'm going to miss the grudge match. Of course, to be fair, there is a new grudge match, I think.
Yeah, well, the new grudge match, obviously, is Wario, myself, versus Duggar as Pit, which is very interesting. Mainly because Pit's final smash is so freaking cheap.
You only say that because I win.
I don't say that at all. I say that because you...
Yes.
Things I can't say on air. I could if I wanted to, I suppose. It is my show.
No, you shouldn't.
Our show.
Our show.
Yeah.
Brawl introduces a number of interesting things, most notably of which was the Subspace Emissary, which is the single-player sort of story-oriented mode which Melee lacked. Melee had the playthrough mode, and it had a loose kind of storyline, but I mean, so did Smash with the Master Hand being your... final opponent, but there's actually a story driven through cutscenes that is the
which were actually really well done.
They were. I actually quite enjoyed them, and it gives you different character sets, and actually it forces you to use pretty much every character at some point for something, which it's good because it gives you a rounded experience with all of the characters. For my part, was very eager to just pick up old characters, but I find myself, you know, having to use characters like Lucas and Pit, of course, I was looking forward to, though, but, you know, and it's very interesting, as far as a single-player mode. I enjoyed it. I think one of the best additions that they made was Sonic. I love Sonic. He was just... You know, people had wanted him to be in Melee, and there were all of those rumors floating around that he was in it, and, you know, all, of course, were completely lies. but I'm sure many people stayed up trying to get that, just like they tried to get the Triforce in Ocarina of Time and Luigi in Mario 64. Mm. But anyway, it also, they got rid of, they kept the Ice Climbers, they kept Game & Watch.
They got rid of Mewtwo and replaced him with Lucario.
Yes, and Lucario, I think, plays better than Mewtwo. I actually was doing fairly well against
him. He feels less floaty.
Yes.
And that's a good thing.
And his energy ball does not have the recoil that Mewtwo's did.
That's true.
But, of course, it also doesn't have the range. And Mewtwo's had that nice little
zigzag float thing,
that was quite unpredictable and could be used very effectively. Mm-hmm. Samus, and this disappointed me, Samus really got nerfed. They slowed her down a lot. And maybe that's to compensate for the fact that after the final smash, she becomes Zero Suit Samus. And Zero Suit Samus is fun, I enjoy playing her, but it's just I miss my Samus the way that I'm used to playing her.
Yeah. I was never a big Samus person to begin with, but yeah, I can definitely feel that she's been toned down quite a bit. Another thing, it's basically all the characters have been slowed down a bit, from what I can tell from Melee.
Except for Sheik.
And Sheik, does Sheik even still have that forward punch thing anymore? That dastardly punch?
I haven't actually messed with Sheik a whole lot. Sheik, of course, has the needles, but now Sheik holds the needles. You don't have to hold down B, you just hit B and Sheik holds them until you hit B again. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everybody plays a little slower, I think, and a little bit heavier than they did before. It feels like a little bit more of a chore to jump around in this game.
It actually, I think it's more than a feeling. I think it is.
Yeah.
I find that it is a lot harder to do anything with any of the characters. Even if you pick up the old characters, they just don't move like they did in Melee.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got new additions, like King DDD, which is basically a heavyweight Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else? Lucas, Lucario, Diddy Kong, which is interesting. I haven't really figured him out yet.
Diddy Kong, I think, was a good addition, though. I mean, yeah. I enjoy him. I think he plays well. He's certainly not a toned-down Donkey Kong.
No.
He plays completely differently. Mm. Stupid peanut gun.
And I'm glad for. I do wish the Star Fox characters, I wish they had left Wolf out and included Crystal instead from Star Fox Adventure and Star Fox Command.
Which would have been, as you had mentioned earlier, would have been an interesting moveset, would have been an interesting addition. But
interesting moveset would have appeased a lot of fanboys, I'm sure. and we wanted Mega Man in there because we were both huge Mega Man nuts.
It would have been the perfect plug. Yeah. But now, let's talk about everyone's favorite third-party addition, Solid Snake.
His moveset is odd.
It is. And as Adam had said last night, it's very strategic. You have to know what you're doing ahead of time with Snake.
It's very Metal Gear Acid. He doesn't like Metal Gear Acid. That would be a bit of an understatement.
As all of you can clearly see, there is a death look going on here.
Uh-huh.
Moving on.
Yes.
You have to know what you're doing ahead of time with Snake. When you plant the C4, none of his moves get off like that.
All his moves take time to execute.
There's about a half second delay
mm-hmm.
between the button combo and anything he actually does. Even the players that have been slowed down don't have quite that much delay between their moves. And even though he looks like he hits hard, he doesn't actually hit as hard as you would think.
Mm.
Not that he's not good. His final smash, if done correctly, is he comes down on this helicopter and he shoots a grenade launcher, and you are constantly knocked up by it. And if it's done right, you can just knock everyone right off the stage. So he's a fantastic character. And of course, his taunt is classic.
Just gets in his cardboard box, hides from everything.
See, I just wish that when someone picked up the box, because you can actually walk over and pick up the box off of him, I just wish he would do his...
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
His Yes, but anyway. So yes, as we alluded to, Final Smash is that's probably the biggest addition to the overall gameplay is that everybody now there's an item that floats around at certain points during the battles that's called the Smash Ball. You basically just hit this thing a couple times. Once you've collected it, you kind of glow a little bit. And once you hit your standard B move, you'll unleash just a huge move.
Not so huge in the case of Meta Knight.
Or not so huge. Sometimes you have to catch people with it. Sometimes it just hits the whole screen at the same time. But pretty much everybody's is unique.
Well, and it's interesting because the final smashes, I feel, are a little unbalanced. Not in that... You know, they're not fair in that some characters really just got the short end of the stick.
Mm. Meta Knight.
Yeah, Meta Knight, for example, Meta Knight does not have a fantastic one. Luigi's is okay, but it...
I like it. It's nice.
It is, but when you take someone like Meta Knight or Luigi and you put them next to, like, Mario or Samus,
uh-huh.
Samus just has this massive beam which completely destroys half the stage and you die. And, you know, Ike has this...
But Samus is so slow, it kind of makes up for it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And then of course, she becomes Zero Suit Samus. Samus, I think, actually has one of the most interesting final smashes, because if you do it as Samus, you blow half the screen away and become Zero Suit Samus. If you do it as Zero Suit Samus, you have to get right up in their face and catch them with it, and then you become Samus again.
You do the Shine Spark move, yeah.
I think Samus actually has the most visually appealing one. Mario's is actually really, really neat, I think. They did a very good job with Mario. Mm. You know, he is the spearhead of the franchise, and he has more games than I have brain cells.
You know, the one issue I have with Mario in this game is that they replaced his regular down B move, which is a sort of a spinning attack that throws you up at the end of it. They replaced that. It's now his down A in the air, but you know, it doesn't have quite the same potency. But his new down B is that he charges Flood, his water gun from Super Mario Sunshine, with water, and then fires it at someone. And I wouldn't really have a problem with that.
Except that
it does no damage.
At all.
It just shoves a person backwards a little bit, and that's it. And there's even a little recoil on it, so you go backwards a little bit when you use it. But otherwise, his moveset is intact, and I'm okay with that. But, yeah, I just... They really felt that was necessary?
Hmm.
I don't know.
But I have to say, you enjoy Wario. I personally don't care for him.
I really enjoy Wario because of the motorcycle. The motorcycle, he just pulls out of nowhere, like in an anime, you know, a girl will pull a hammer out of hammer space and hit somebody with it, crack somebody across the skull. But Wario will just pull this motorcycle out of nowhere and proceed to run it around the level. And, you know, you can turn it back and forth. If you get knocked off of it or fall off of it, you can get back on it. Until it's destroyed, and once it's destroyed, if you wait a couple seconds, you can get it right back out. And you wonder how many motorcycles he has in those pants. He is
infinite,
I guess. There's that, of course, and then there's his Wario Waft, which is which is a flatulence move that builds up strength over time, and it's actually really hard to land, but it has a nice hit. When you do get it right.
No comment.
So yeah, that's my favorite parts about Wario so far.
I have to say, I love Pit. Mm. I like what they've done with him. Pit, he has two different swords. And the thing that I think is most interesting about Pit is he flies.
Mm.
He's one of the only characters that has a third jump. While most characters, they have a jump and a jump and a recovery. Pit has a jump and then he flaps and then he flaps and then he flaps. And those are his jumps. And his recovery actually gives him the ability to completely fly for about the space of 3 or 4 seconds.
But that does kind of, you know, cripple him as far as he doesn't have anything offensive for his up and B there.
No, but it also makes him very difficult to get rid of on wide stages.
That's true.
You know, he's kind of like Peach in that you can knock him off the stage, but he's just going to float right back.
Hmm.
He also has the arrow, which, while it doesn't do a whole lot of damage, will go across the entire screen.
It's very annoying. It's one of the few things Wario can't eat. One of the few projectiles.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great opener. And when you're in multiplayer and you're somewhat removed from the action, you can just sort of rain arrows down. You can also aim them straight up, and once they've been fired, you have some degree of control over their direction. Mm-hmm. Up or down, as such. And, he also has the mirror shield, which is kind of like Star Fox's bounce back. It will reflect most projectiles, and it works kind of like Link's shield in that it will also protect Pit from certain moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also has the spin. He takes his sword and he just spins them repeatedly for eternity.
And I got to tell you, in the Japanese version of the game, he makes a really annoying, like, Xena Warrior Princess noise when he uses that.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, so this also kind of marks Nintendo's first real foray into online play.
Yes, let's talk about online functionality.
You know, it's Nintendo, so you know there's going to be the whole friend code situation. You know, so nobody's going to be able to see your name online.
I'll tell you, the thing that bugs me about it, and at the time I thought that it was just my Wii, but I am finding that this seems to be a sort of universal problem, is connection and lag issues.
Mm.
It's very difficult to play when the style, it's so clunky, because there's just so much lag. I know you and I tried to play online, and it was, you know,
it was lag-tastic.
Every 15, 20 frames, we were seeing something happen.
Yeah. I literally played a match the other day against random people online, and somebody had a laggy connection, and I think it was on the PictoChat stage, and for about 15 seconds, I saw every other frame skip. And that was just, it was excruciating. Because I didn't want to drop out of the match, because I didn't want to look like a douche. But, you know, it was just, I had to wait. It was like a red light, green light, except nobody was calling green light.
Basically. But I mean, it is at least nice that there is online functionality, mm-hmm. because it does allow you to play against other people, so mm-hmm. that you can enjoy playing against other human players even when you're by yourself at home.
And people will do unexpected things. The computer, you know, kind of what it's going to do all the time. Mm-hmm. But people will do unexpected things. They'll do stupid things occasionally, and you know that's something you can't get out of an AI. No matter how advanced it is.
And it is nice to get that practice. I know that I like to hone my skills against other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see what characters they'll pick and what they'll do with those characters. And that's the end of our spiel about that. We will see you on the other side of this music with another riveting topic.
Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together.
We're back! And for this particular segment, we have a special guest star with us today.
She's about to spray soda all over the microphone.
Trying not to lose the soda out of her nose.
But, I don't shoot soda out of my nose.
But yes, this is...
I'm a little more classy than that.
Welcome, Alicia, to the show.
Thank you. Alicia, my lovely lady friend.
Lady friend.
Lady friend.
Lady friend.
That sounds classy, too.
Thank you. I'll keep it. Okay.
Innuendo.
Innuendo.
That's what she said.
Right. What were we going to talk about again?
Heroes.
Oh, okay.
And I believe... This topic has been raised before. I know that I mentioned Heroes some episodes back. But here we are, Season 2, long over.
Long over.
And Season 3, being talked about, but no actual filming beginning. Season 2, letdown?
A little bit.
It was a disappointment. It ended very quickly. And it kind of all wrapped up not so nice and neatly in mm-hmm. one episode. I just felt like it was kind of like, oh, we gotta quit, and then slam it all together in one episode.
It seemed like pretty much everything of consequence that happened during the season happened in the span of 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, and now, to be fair, for those of you who aren't aware, there was the writer's strike going on. And basically what happened is... the series was supposed to go for 20-some-odd episodes, and they realized, well, shucks, doesn't look like we're going to be able to finish. So it's like, that, you know, abrupt, quick. And here was one of my biggest problems. There was so much character development in the first season, specifically with, you know, my golden boy, Peter. But it seems that all he did season two was... Wine. A lot.
Wine and make bad decisions.
Yeah. It was all about him.
And leave his girlfriend trapped in the future.
Yeah,
I liked
that
one.
Sucked. Are we ever going to see her again?
Well, who knows. Mm. But I can't believe that they would just leave that thread hanging. Tim Kring, for all of the issues I have with the show, Tim Kring seems to be pretty good about wrapping up his threads.
Mm.
It may not, you know, be the answer I wanted, but it's at least addressed. But then, of course, there were my issues with the physics of the Heroes universe, which I'm sure would make an interesting academic discussion. So, yes, what is it? It was like 10 episodes, I think.
11.
11 episodes. And Nathan getting shot at the end. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't already seen it.
Yeah.
That was a little too convenient.
No. But, now, I've heard rumors that Nikki won't be dead. Don't take this the wrong way. Allie Larder can find work somewhere else. I hope Nikki stays dead.
She's a decent actress. It's just her character has kind of lost its appeal. It's almost like she doesn't have a purpose for being around anymore.
When did it have appeal?
Well, in the beginning, she served as a foil, you know, and I mean, her character had purpose to start off with, but
in the first
after DL died, there was really no reason for her to be around. She wasn't, like, helping anybody out.
Well, I feel like the whole multiple personalities thing is just, like, a plot device at this point. Let's see, we need to get the plot. Ooh! Let's give her another personality!
And I thought it was really cheap that DL died in a flashback, of all things. I mean, we didn't even think he survived through the first season, then we find out that he did, and then he died for no reason in a flashback.
Yeah, it was pretty crap.
That character got shafted.
Yeah, he did.
Him, and just, I guess, to further the character development of the Mexican twins, for whatever reason, the only thing they ended up doing in terms of the overall plot was bringing Siler back to New York. That was it. And that was the only useful thing they ever did during the whole time on the show. And then they both died by the end of the season, I think.
No, the girl's alive.
Okay, Maya's still alive.
Maya, and apparently Maya didn't even need her brother to begin with, because now she can control the powers. And I'm sure you can
did,
all see Maya.
She did need him to begin with, but Siler helped her to figure out how to control her power to a point where she doesn't need a brother anymore, which is why he was able to be killed off.
Mm-hmm.
So. It bothers me how many new characters are brought in and then brought out and brought in. It's a lot to keep up with. And for a storyline to even have that many people, it's... God, it must be hell in the writers. No wonder they went on strike.
Now, I liked the whole... the deal with the character of Adam. I liked the idea that he was angry with Hiro and that he launched this one-man genocidal crusade through the ages.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting concept. I don't like how they dealt with it, and I don't like them, you know, making him some crackpot, insane addict locked up for 30 years who Peter just immediately believes everything that he says.
Yeah, and... I know Peter's kind of naive to begin with, he always has been, but for him to just follow Adam blindly like that has always bothered me about the second
Especially season. When he can read minds.
But he may not remember that he can do that. Or wait, no, he used it a few times during the course of the season.
Well, you know, he, before he lost his memory, he knew about all of his powers.
Mm.
And when he confronts Matt had been spending these episodes learning that his power was greater than just picking up thoughts, that he could actually, you know, control people. And he tries to do it to Peter, and Peter does it right back to him.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Peter hasn't spent any time working with his abilities. So it's like, if Peter can do that, he can pick the thoughts out of Adam's head and figure out what's right and what's wrong.
Mm.
Sorry, that made sense. Let me back up.
Another thing that actually really bugged me about the second season was the whole relationship that was played up between West and,
oh my God.
I don't even remember her name now. Cheerleader, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Oh, Claire.
Claire. There we are.
Hayden Panettiere, who apparently is now some big pop figure.
I was
in the checkout line at Walmart the other day, and she was on, like, two different magazines. One for, like, hottest bodies, and one... It was like Cosmo, I think, and it was some headline was like, "Why I'm a good bad girl." And
she's also a Neutrogena spokesmodel. She did other acting before Heroes.
Well, I know she did, and because there was a lot of talk about during the first season of Heroes that she was really good for being as young as she was, but I think this just sort of rocketed her to pop stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and not that I'm saying it's gone to her head. I don't actually know anything about her. I'm just saying what I have seen.
I almost think that the writers kind of degraded her character a little bit with this relationship with Wes.
Yeah.
She went from being kind of smart and self-sufficient. I mean, because she was hiding her ability from almost everybody. I mean, most importantly, her dad. I mean, before we figured out that he knew about it. Pretty well. Pretty craftily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she even died in the first season. She brought herself back to life. But, you know, it just... The whole relationship with Wes, I feel like her character is just... completely downgraded. All of a sudden, you know, she's just throwing herself in the arms of this guy and letting him make all the decisions.
I feel like her character was just shoehorned into this relationship.
Well, see, and here's the thing that absolutely bugged me about the whole thing. I actually like the relationship between her and West just because, you know, I thought it would be good for her to have someone, and he was a really cool guy, I thought. My problem is that her and...
You're on your own with that one, by the way.
I know, I got that. My issue with it, and I think this contributes a little bit more to what you were complaining about, is she sits down with her dad, and they have this big discussion about how we don't need to keep secrets from anybody anymore, because keeping secrets from each other is what got us all screwed over in the first place. So let me go over here and not tell you what I'm going to do, while you go over there and not tell me what you're doing, and then let's lie to each other about it, because that's going to keep that channel of honesty open. And wait, where did all of the problems in that family come from this season? That's a rhetorical question, by the way.
I just feel like one of the things that kept the season from going the way Tim Kring must have imagined it was going to go was that at one point West reveals to Clara that he was captured by the corporation or the company or whatever it's called.
The company, yeah.
The company. And that they implanted him with this thing.
They tagged him, yeah.
Right.
Tag release.
you would have figured at some point that the company would have used that to try and find Claire.
Yeah, because they only live in the same city or something.
Right,
and they
right.
only go to the same high school. There's a lot of... this is my problem with shows like this, is when you involve so many plot lines, is that it's so easy to just get lost in the story that these writers just forget to pick up the smaller pieces. And I'm not saying they're terrible writers. This show is awesome. I am, like, gripping the edge of my seat, you know, waiting for the next episode. I mean, as soon as that clock hits, you know, I'm... turn on the TV and ready to watch, but it's complicated and it's really easy to just forget all the little minute details of a story like that. And I don't know, for diehard fans, you know, it's really easy to just point them out like that.
I think that was a divine disagreement.
Wow.
I think Tim Kring has some pretty heavy pull. But moving on. Some of season two I thought was, you know, I liked what had happened with Peter initially. Waking up, having no clue about where he is, having this new power.
That's interesting.
And using it in Ireland, of all places. You know, it was neat, but he quickly degenerated.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly. And, I will tell you one character who I have, as of yet, had absolutely no problems with from the beginning of the show all the way through season two, was Hiro.
Mm-hmm.
Love Masioka.
I feel so bad for him after that girl in the coffee shop died.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So.
Because it was like, oh,
and it also
so
it's also interesting that he himself becomes the legend that he admired as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was...
I kind of saw that coming.
Did you?
A couple episodes into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiro and that whole storyline has been very interesting. Now, let's talk about Kristen Bell.
She's a skank. Kristen Bell is a skank. I can't stand
that. That is the only thing you will ever hear her say about Kristen Bell.
She's a skank.
Yeah.
It's so painful for me to watch her on TV. I mean, I'm not saying she's a terrible actress. I just don't like Kristen Bell. And Kristen Bell, if you're listening, it's nothing personal. I just don't like... Okay, yeah, I guess
skanks.
It is personal. I don't know.
Okay. Yes, she's playing Bob's daughter, who is apparently some sort of agent for the company.
She plays Elle.
And has electrical powers.
He was one of the beginning. He was one of the founders.
Right.
He was in the photograph.
The original heroes.
Which makes me wonder, what was his power again?
He turned things to gold.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's a selective Midas. But anyway, here, what bugged me about her character, and this also bugged me about Peter, was that she's all, like, homicidal and psychopathic, but then she's gonna, like, shock Peter for some sort of sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
That's why she's a skank.
She's really twisted.
Yeah. Really. I bet she has fun playing her, though, Kristen Bell.
I guess.
Because, I mean, she's... I was really kind of like, with Peter, because she's like, do you want me to do it again? And he's like, yeah, yeah, shock!
Yeah. I think what bothers me so much about that whole character is that she's trying to win Daddy's attention, but she's playing into that whole blonde thing, you know, like, oh, I'm going to run into danger to try to make my dad love me. It's like, you know, for somebody who... you know, claims to be smart and claims to be all crafty and everything, you'd think that she would just be able to pick up on this stuff, but she doesn't. She just...
See, and they tried to make her her character ambiguous. They tried to give her a sort of gray feeling rather than a bad guy feeling.
Well, when you're the kind of person who at the beginning of the season will slaughter people for no good reason...
And at the end of the season, you want daddy's love,
right.
And you're apparently trying to make out with your prisoners.
There's not really any ambiguity there. You're just a schizo.
That reminds me, how many of you had an issue with the fact that she saw Siler and Maya and who else was in the room?
Mohinder.
Yeah. How many of you thought that was strange that she saw, Kristen Bell saw them on camera, Elle saw them on camera, and then all of a sudden, like 20 minutes later, she appears in the loft?
Yeah.
Is the company that close to the loft?
They might be monitoring it. I mean,
the loft, they turned the loft into their own thing. That was where they were working on the paintings.
Yes, but I thought he was being kept held in Odessa, Texas. I thought that's where the base of operations was. And I thought that that's where Elle was when she saw them on camera, and then all of a sudden she shows up in the loft. Now, as far as I know, her only power was, you know, electric. You know, anything electric, but, you know, how did she appear there so quickly? That's something that confused me.
Plot device?
Maybe Siler had a really long monologue that he delivered and we just didn't see it.
I hated that whole dream sequence in the beginning of season 2 where Siler was being held hostage, mm-hmm. and he was made to think that he was on, like, that deserted island, mm-hmm. or something that... I don't even remember that girl's name.
Did they ever really go into that? Did they ever explain why he was there?
Candace, who could make people see whatever she wanted them to see,
right.
had him thinking he was on that island because he had been shot, and he had not healed yet. Mm. And
been shot. How?
Or not shot, stabbed.
Yeah.
Hiro but stabbed him in the end of season 1. He ran him through. That's what
right.
it was. And but he was recovering, and he was under her care. And, of course, he killed her and took her brain. He had been injected with the same virus that Nikki had been injected with, and mm-hmm. it had stripped him of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is he going to be able to use her power? Because if, in theory, his power is to understand, assimilate, and then use the powers that he consumes, if his powers were not working when he consumed her, then he
right.
technically
then you
shouldn't have her power.
And
maybe
I don't
they're
think...
latent. Maybe he's able to tap into them later. Like, he may be able to mm-hmm. get them and assimilate them, but not necessarily use them because he didn't have the recollection to be able to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that wouldn't go in working with how his power thus far has been explained.
Well, what about Peter? After he lost his memory, he was still able to use all those powers.
But that's because it was in his code. It was already a part of his genetic structure.
And all those powers were in Skylar's genetic structure.
Yeah, but he just couldn't use them. All the ones he already had, then he could use once he was cured. His power, as it's been explained, is that he can consume genetic material. And his nature of understanding how it works allows him to incorporate it into himself. That's, as far as I understand, that's mm-hmm. what his power has been, is
yeah.
he understands it and he is able to incorporate it. If his powers were not working at the time that he consumed Candace's brain, or whatever it is he's doing with them, then in theory, I think he shouldn't be able to use her power once he gets his powers back, because he wasn't working properly when he consumed her.
Did he ever show... I can't remember. It's been a while since I've watched season 2. Did he ever show any sign of using that power in season 2?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
He never used any powers, I don't
think.
The
only thing he
two.
Did in season 2 was right after he was cured, he was sitting in the alleyway, and he used telekinesis
right.
to bring
right,
the can to
the
him.
Can to.
Right.
And his immortal words, "I'm back!"
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But, you know, Zachary Quinto, he will be...
Quinto.
Apologies, Quinto. He will be Spock.
Yeah.
In the upcoming Star Trek prequel.
He looks like Spock.
but that's an entire different... rant.
See, I think the way it works with Peter is that some powers may only last for certain amounts of time in his memory. Like, I don't recall him using the nuclear man power again in season 2.
But see, that's not the way his power was explained. The way Suresh explained his power His genetic sequence restructures itself to incorporate the powers of the others around him.
Well, Suresh has never been wrong, right?
Not about genetic matters.
Okay.
He's right. Been pretty irritating otherwise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's like a dumbed down, inexperienced, and quite annoying Professor Xavier. You know,
He feels human to me, and well, I like that about his character.
Well, initially they painted him as sort of the precursor type of mentor to these ragtag people who were discovering these mm-hmm. powers. And this isn't anything against Tim Kring particularly, but the show went from feeling unique and interesting to mm-hmm. feeling like an X-Men ripoff. Because initially the concept was, what would real people do if they found out they had these powers? And now it's become about the powers, not the people, I feel. Right. It started out centered around the people and their lives and how their lives changed and how they themselves changed with the realization of these powers, because you had each character reacting to them differently. You mm-hmm. had people like Nathan trying to deny them. You had people like Peter who were trying to understand them. You had people like Hiro who embraced them and, you know, tried to do some greater good with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, the problem with that whole situation is that once we got deeper into the storyline, and I'm not talking about seasons here, I'm just the whole storyline mm-hmm. as a whole, as we met Linderman and we understand the whole purpose behind the powers, it gave it some kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, an agenda. We realized there was an agenda behind these powers. It wasn't people discovering, oh, wow, we had these mm-hmm. cool powers. I'm a fluke in nature. It wasn't like that. We mm-hmm. figured out that there was an agenda behind these powers, and therefore it became about the powers and not about the people.
Well, no, I think it still was about the people. It was about the people choosing to do something. I have this power. I can either continue to run, or I can involve myself. I can make use of my ability to help others. You had some who did and some who didn't. You know, Nathan didn't make his decision right up until, like, the very end. Whereas people like, you know, Claire and Peter, they were propelling themselves towards their ultimate goal the entire time. And then you come back in season two, and you expect there to be some sort of resolution, and I just didn't feel like there really was. I mean, now, granted, it cut off sooner than they wanted. I'm sure there was a much different plan prior to the writer's strike,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping that some of this will be resolved with season 3. From what I understand, season 3 will be longer than season 1, because they're starting production earlier, and I do believe they're trying to make up for
mm-hmm.
the botched season 2, because I can't think of a whole lot of people who were terribly happy with how season 2 went.
Mm.
So, Heroes 1, Heroes Season 1, fantastic. I want the DVDs.
Heroes Season 2? Could have been better. Could have been better.
Oh, I think the length.
I mean, well, you know, we'll certainly all be tuning into Heroes Season 3 just because we have such a love affair with the characters. And we want to see what happens to them now that Siler is apparently back in action. But, yeah.
I just want to see Peter and Siler duke it out, you know, especially once Peter has, you know, some sort of cognition of all of his abilities and
mm-hmm.
an ability to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, to be fair, Peter would just win. Stop time, get him.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to all the cast and crew and Tim Kring in the third season, whenever that may be.
This has been another fantastic, highly anticipated, riveting episode of...
Highly anticipated?
Well, of course.
Okay.
Of the Uncommon Man podcast, or TUMP, as we affectionately like to refer to it.
I do thank Alicia for coming in to geek out with us for a few minutes.
Indeed.
Yes, yes. And I guess that's all we have for you, you know? We've talked about Brawl, we've talked about Rock Band, we've talked about Heroes. What more can you ask from us?
Well,
cake.
Can I eat it too?
Sure.
So, we We thank you for tuning in once again to Tump, and we sincerely hope that we don't keep you waiting quite as long for the next episode. So,
fingers crossed.
Thanks for joining. And as always, questions, comments, criticisms, hate mail, please send it our way.
To uncommonmail@gmail.com, or you can just go by our website at tumponline.com.
So, thanks for playing.
This is Adam.
And this is Doug.
And we'll see you next time, whenever that may be.
But Sheik also doesn't smash as hard.
You like the chain?
I like the chain.
He likes the chain.
not here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. anyway.
See, I just wish that if when someone picked up the box, because you can actually walk over and pick up the box off of him, I just wish he would do his...
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
His... I'll put the sound in there. Mm-hmm.
The cannon is interesting.
The cracker launcher?
Yes!
Which I feel compelled to yell, "Cracker!" every time someone grabs it.
Please don't.
I'm sorry. Anyway.